Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black pansexual feminist hoe living in New York City, and
me, Rodeca, one fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
Me, Rob, one agender pansexual feminist with a fatty.
And Akua.
Nice. Nice job, Akua.
Yep, that's it. That's it today.
You're just giving up. It's cool, man. On this show, we have two types of episodes. They are interview episodes and group episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes like this one, all the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. So on this episode, we're talking about...
I have a stalker.
Fun.
Yeah.
New relationship.
Nice. Ooh. Also fun.
I went on a date and gave up on life.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Sounds about right. Cool. But before we get into that, we have some short segments. They are
Hoe of the Week.
We shout out you guys, the homies, listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you awesome advice on how to take care of yourselves.
And pay a hoe.
Where we beg for the money that we so desperately need.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
And if you would like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Let's go on to Hoe of the Week now.
So this week's people who paid us hoes: Tatiana, Cara H, Brianna L, Iris V, Molly S, and Whitney T, who bought merch.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, guys. And our other hoes this week are Angela, Akeem, and Belle, who proofread the newsletter that you all are getting very much. Thank you very much to those folks who helped out. And Diamond from Marsha's Plate Trans Talk Podcast for sending the wig crucifix studio decor.
Yeah.
We have a nice little silver microphone.
Yay.
Now let's go on to self-care tip of the week, Akua.
So my first self-care tip of the week is two parts. Be a black work auntie and reevaluate and strengthen your work relationships if they're healthy to help combat trauma.
If they're healthy.
I was like, if they're healthy. Because the niggas be tripping.
You know.
And that came from I don't want to call it traumatic experience, but it was like the symptoms was that of trauma. So I had an experience at work, which has made me really on edge. And the culture at my job has also really made me just on edge. Because we have high turnover rates and termination, and it's like somebody's in the door and then out the door the next day, and you don't know if you're going to be on the chopping block. So what's also been happening with the high turnover is that there are new people coming in, and to my surprise, they're people of color, which I'm so excited about. They are black people, they are people of color. And before, I wasn't really a part of my work circle because they were white people and I just am not friends with white folks. So like I kept my distance. I was professional, you know, I engaged when necessary, but I kept my distance. And now that there's more black people, I'm one trying to engage and have work friends because now this is a circle of people I can see myself with. And I'm being a black work auntie because they're all new. I am, as terminations keep happening, I am moving closer to seniority. And I've only been there for 2 years.
Wow.
So let's be real.
Talking about.
So they come to me and they ask about things, how to do things, what's the procedure, and I help them. But I've taken it a step further. Instead of them just being there when they come, I'm proactively seeking them out now. So I'll walk by their office and be like, hey, how you doing today? If like their door is open, or, you know, ask if they're feeling bogged down, ask if they're feeling anxious, because I couldn't imagine coming into a new company and niggas is really just leaving left, right, and center. I'd be like, where the fuck do I gotta go? Like, right. I gotta pack my bag.
How long will I be here?
Like, let me not get too comfy because this seat might not be mine. And I realized that helped me in reflecting and therapy, helped me kind of combat the anxiety and the symptoms of trauma I was facing, because for like a week and a half straight, I couldn't sleep. I was just on edge. Like, I didn't want to go to work. Like, it was just not okay. So that has been helpful, and hopefully I will have work friends for the first time in my life. I will have friends outside of work. And they're really cool people once you get to know them.
They weren't cool before that.
Like, at first I hated them, but you know, now they're cool. Like, I don't know y'all like you.
Some niggas.
And then the second one is the Office of Mental Health is now providing free funding for people to become peer specialists. And a peer specialist is someone who has a diagnosis, a mental health diagnosis, or a substance abuse diagnosis that is in active recovery, that learns skills and training to then help other people in clinical settings or other mental health kind of settings. And the OMH, Office of Mental Health, is funding this particular organization to certify people for free. So if you have 4 to 8 weeks to spare,
that part.
Now, I don't know if it's, and I should have did more research for this, but Samantha will just put the link in the description box below. I don't think it's a full-time program. So you know, you might be able to work around it, but the length of it is 4 to 8 weeks. If that's something you're interested in and you're looking for a new career path or just something to do, check it out.
That's cool. Thank you, Akua.
Thank you.
Ho 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 ho. Are you a fan of sex, fun, drinks, prizes, games, music, and twerking? Of course you are. So if you're in or around New York City this month, you should definitely come through to Sex Trivia Sundays hosted by Inner Ho Uprising. This month's edition will be Sunday, April 14th, starting at a new time, 5 p.m., and ending at our regular time, 8 p.m. An extra hour of fun with your favorite hoes. Winners and runners-up get a prize, so come to compete or to spectate. Either way, entry is free. You can find information on how to register for yourself or your team to compete in the description of this episode. And this month, because we'll be playing the same day that the 8th and final season of one of my favorite shows, Game of Thrones, airs, you can stick around after Sex Trivia to watch the show with us at Love Story, the bar where we do Sex Trivia Sundays at. May 11th, the third Pod in Live NYC. The largest People of Color podcasters meetup in the tri-state area and potentially the country and potentially the entire solar system. Our friends over at Tea with Queen and Jay create a free safe space every year for people of color podcasters, podcast enthusiasts, and podcast listeners to all come kick it with each other over drinks, music, and fun. Inner Ho Uprising will be there. Our homie podcasters like Bag Ladies and Queer Walk will be there. So save the date. More details on that coming soon. Pay a ho. If you love, love, love this show and appreciate the hard work that we do to bring it to you every week, we would so greatly appreciate it if you supported us monetarily and non-monetarily. To support us monetarily, we ask you to visit innerhouseuprising.com and choose the Pay a Ho Once or Pay a Ho Monthly options. Pay a Ho Once redirects you to our PayPal, where you can drop off any one-time donation at any amount that you want as many times as you want. So that takes you to paypal.me/innerho. It's kind of like we're fuck buddies and we just call each other up when we want to satisfy that itch. If you choose the Pay a Ho Monthly option, you'll be redirected to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhouseuprising. On Patreon, you'll be given the option of setting a monthly recurring donation at any price that you want. And we'll return the favor with some monthly goodies, like we're in a committed relationship and we have some expectations for one another. So if you donate $2 or more a month, you get early and discounted access to Inner Ho Uprising events. And if you donate $5 or more a month, you get, fuck that, a regular Inner Ho Uprising newsletter curated by yours truly. It's fun, it's insightful, it's filled with offbeat stories about sex, love, and dating that you may have missed in the current drudgery of the news cycle. So check your inbox right now, because I actually sent one out today. So make sure that you check your updates or promotions folder if you have Gmail, because it may have auto sent to there. If you're strapped for cash or don't wish to support us monetarily, then there are other ways to help us out. You can leave an Apple Podcast review or a Stitcher review. You can comment on one of our episodes on SoundCloud or CastBox or Himalaya. You can tweet about us and tag us on Twitter or Instagram. You can reply to Twitter threads asking what your favorite podcasts are with our @. You can drop a link to your favorite Inner Hoe Uprising episode in your group chat. You can tell your work best friend to give us a listen. Or you can walk down the street rocking some Inner Hoe Uprising merchandise, which you can find on innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise. Now, let's get into this motherfucking show. This is a segment called Fuck Me, the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. Take it away.
All right. So, I had a very, I don't even know if it's, I hate using the word traumatic because I feel like
I think it was traumatic.
Yeah, I think I just downplay anything and I'm just like, no, it's okay. I think I referenced this person. I was actually kind of going back and forth whether or not I was going to mention it, but I'm like, not going to let anybody take away my ability to talk about a situation. So I don't know if I mentioned it in passing, but regardless, there was a guy at my job. I think I did. There was a guy at my job who was just the type of person where you kind of see him on the sidelines and nobody's talking to him. And there'll be days where he's like, you can see that he's really up and he's like, he's the maintenance guy. So he's cleaning and you're just like, oh yeah, look at him. He's like having a good day. And there's other days that he's just kind of like, you can just see it on him that he's just like kind of sad. So I'm like, all right, I'm a manager. Let's do this. Like, let's reach out to somebody that's on my staff. So at first I would like pull him into the office. Like, hey, like even when he was just clocking in, I'd just be like, hey, how are you today? And he would even express a lot. He was like, it was really nice to hear somebody ask me how I'm doing. You know, I'm actually pretty stressed out. And then he would talk to me about like things going on in his life, things like at the time he was in a relationship and that wasn't going very well. And he was just like, you know, this is my first relationship. He's Muslim. So like this person, he ended up marrying them. He felt like he kind of rushed into it just because he didn't want to like ruin anything and this, that, and the fourth. And then he was just kind of like upset. And I was kind of the, not liaison, that's not the right word, but the confidant that he would come into work. And it kind of became a routine where he would just, when he was feeling down, he'd be like, hey, do you have a minute to talk? I'm like, sure, no problem. I have no problem talking to you, you know? It kind of took a turn, not a turn that I could say is notable enough until I'm looking back at it. When me and Bryce broke up, it was like, okay, he shot his shot, basically. And when it happened, I was like, oh, I mean, we could be friends. Like, you know, we could be friends, we could be friendly, but I'm not really interested. You know, I think I didn't do it strong enough where I was like, oh, I'm definitely not interested in you. Fuck you. I'm not in, like, I didn't do that. But I was like, you know, I'm like just getting out of a relationship. I'm not really thinking about doing any type of stuff. He's like, oh, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. And then one day he came with flowers and a teddy bear and a balloon. And I had just messed up my ankle. So the balloons actually said, get well soon. And I thought it was really funny. And I was like, okay, this is nice. You know, I didn't think anything of it. He was like, I just want you to feel better. We've been talking this whole time. I'm like, cool. So then after I realized I was going to be leaving the job that I'm at now, I was like, okay, I can kind of move that boundary that I had in the past of being a manager. And some of the people at my job are really cool and they're the same age as me. Like some people are older than me. And it's like, it's not really anything other than me being in this position that's stopping me from hanging out with you guys. So after that happened, I was like, oh, let me just hang out with my work people. I had something where it was kind of like a going away party. And I invited him. So I got kind of drunk and everybody got kind of drunk and I was just like hanging out with everybody and we were just chilling. Nothing happened. I didn't have sex with anybody. I would have remembered if I had sex with somebody. So I didn't have sex with anybody, but I was chilling with them. And unbeknownst to me, he had gotten up in the middle of it and left. Like, but I'm thinking he's leaving like a normal person would just leave at their own time. But he left because he was angry, because he felt like I was acting different around them than I would be with just the two of me and him. Which to me is just like, okay, you don't really know me. So at the end of the day, you don't know that like I'd be getting late and I'd be just doing whatever, as opposed to like you seeing me one on one and we're having these conversations. And yes, I'm listening. Yes, I'm pensive, or I'm just like, okay, you can express yourself. But when I'm not doing that, I'm just a regular person. So he had kind of like mentioned it and he was just kind of like, oh, I just noticed you're a little different. And you know, don't let these people change you. Don't let them, you know, affect who you are and this, that, and the fourth. I'm just like,
Okay, cool. That's a little weird, but all right, I moved on. And then we have a checklist that we have at work where we print it out and like you have to check off the things that you do for the day because they need to be monitored because they're not doing anything. So you need to hold them accountable for the things that they have done for the day. And I printed out, my boss told me to print them out from her document and I printed them all out, stapled them and went home. It was right before I was going home. And then I'm out eating wings and I just see like these pictures come in, like 18 different pictures of each checklist. There's 18 people on staff. And he was like, I guess you just forgot to print out mine, huh? And I was like, okay, this is a little passive aggressive, but I was like, no, I didn't forget to print out yours. I just printed out the document. I'll print yours out tomorrow. And it just kind of turned into, oh, you think I'm stupid, huh? You think I'm dumb? You think I don't know that everybody's against me here and this, that, and forth. And oh, and you just happened to accidentally forget it. It was just very aggressive. And I was like, am I fucking tripping right now? Like, is this dude really pissed at me because I might have accidentally printed out his thing? He took it personally. I got to work and I was ready to just like fight somebody. I was like, all right, if you want to scrap, let's scrap. Like, I was just like, okay, you're really attacking me. So I was just on the defense and we had a conversation and my boss kept just going like, you know, he's an emotional guy. You know, he probably just like, he's up in arms about things. Don't take it personally. Just brush it off. And then I started hanging out with everyone else because I'm realizing that he's a little volatile. I don't really want to like put, I don't want to lead anybody on. That's the last thing that I want to do. Then he pulls me to the side like a week later after he'd apologized. Oh, I wish you would just give me another chance. Like we could be the way that we used to be before when we would talk and this and that. And I'm like, I'm still here to talk, but it's not, I don't know what the way we were before. We're just two people at work together. I'm here to listen if you have to say something, if something's really crazy going on. So he ends up writing me a song and he performed it in his phone and it was a rap. And the first line was, I love you. And then it was just a lot. It was, I love you, you know, I know this, I still remember this line. I know this is your darkest timeline, but I'm trying to let you to see the light. And I was like, okay.
I'm out.
So there was that. And then he had bought me sunflowers. And I was like, okay. And this is when I just felt like I probably should have not taken that second gift. I'm not taking it at all. Just been like, look, now it's getting too much. But I'm sitting here. I think it was just this complex of I didn't want to be the bad guy. If I know this person is going through their own stuff, if I know this stuff, I just felt like I had to shoulder that burden because I don't want to be another person who affects him in a negative way. And then all of a sudden he's mad at me. And then I don't know. I think that's what I was afraid of. And then it just kind of hit the fan because I had been hanging out with the people at the job. There was one guy there that I was like trying to smash. And we would hang out and just be in the office together. And I guess the whole time he was just sitting in the corner festering and seeing me and just building it all up. So on a Saturday, I like looked at my phone and it was just like, oh, I hope you're having a good day. And I hope like, and you have a good day at work today. I was like, I'm not going to work today because like I had already done my hours for the week. Meantime, as I found out later, he was actually at the job, outside the job, waiting to see if I was coming in. And I wasn't. So there was that. But then he was texting me and he was just like, I have something. Oh, if you're not coming in, I have something I want to tell you. Is there a chance that I could like talk to you? And I was like, you either have to text it to me or not. Cause I just felt like it was aggressive and it was something like I just felt like someone was off. And he was just like, I just want you to know that I see through you and that you're a liar and a snake. And I know basically that I fucked everybody there, that I smoke weed with everybody there, that I'm just chilling and just this, I guess this whore who's just like making her way through the staff, and that I played him and that I had been leading him on the entire time. And all I had to do was just say no. And basically I'm the source of all of the shit that's going on in his life and his mental anguish. I'm the reason why that's happened. And it was to the point where like I knew he knew where I lived and I was just scared. So I didn't leave my house for the next 2 days. I filed a report with HR finally, as I should have from the beginning. But it was one of those things where it was just like I felt so helpless in the sense that it reminded me a lot of the relationship that I had. My first relationship where I was like,
just explaining to somebody that I didn't need to explain anything to, or even if I did in the moment, explaining things that I never did and being accused of things that I wasn't even close to doing. And it was just, I felt so helpless because I was like, why do I even care to get this person to believe me when they already have their minds made up that I'm this person that I'm not? And it was just so upsetting because there were some people like that I had to speak to, especially my boss, who was kind of the person who was just like going to fight somebody. So she's like, oh, he's not the type of person to fight somebody. But I'm like, what about my mental anguish? What about me feeling like I'm helpless? What about me being mad at myself for the fact that I was nice to somebody? So it was just really, really shitty because it was just the whole time I was thinking to myself, if I had not been nice, if I had not been the type of person to care about the person sitting in the corner, I wouldn't have even been in this situation. And it started making me feel like, okay, I'm never going to talk to anybody else. I'm never going to be at work. I'm just going to go in, clock in, just do what I have to do. And it just had me like really, really just scared, honestly, and really upset. And I think the self-care tip would be, don't blame yourself if you're nice to someone and shit just kind of hits the fan because you can't control anybody else's actions. You can't control. It made me just like literally want to close myself off to everybody. But then I had to like kind of unwind and realize that it wasn't my fault. But also then I went to the job on Thursday, and he's giving gifts to everybody on the staff. That's a woman. So I now had to approach somebody and say, hey, because I didn't see the other person that he gave the gift to. But with her, I took it upon myself. My boss didn't want me to do it. But in that moment, I took it upon myself to warn her. Because I was just like, okay, he's this type of person. I can see that he's doing this now. I don't know what the fuck is going on in this guy's head. But for me, it's just like someone's always a nice guy until they're not a nice guy. Until they do something crazy. And then you're like, oh, he was such a nice guy. I didn't think he was capable of doing something like that. So it's kind of an ongoing thing. But yeah, that's my life. So...
So what did HR say?
Yeah, I was just about to say.
So it's not a happy ending. It's one of those things where I'm kind of battling with my boss's boss, who's like, do you really want to go through with this? Do you really want to, like, yeah, it feels like everyone's kind of in his corner. It's very strange. It's not strange.
That's life,
man. Yeah. It's like, it's very much like, hey, I've had to explain myself a million times. I'm uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And it's not enough. It's almost as if, like, you know, he's not that type of guy to do anything. He's not going to hurt you. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm like, you see these text messages, right? You can feel the aggression through them, you know? And it's just now it's kind of an email that's sitting there that now I have to like push forward because there are two people between me and HR who are like, oh, you don't know if you really want to do this. He's not going to say anything because he had threatened to take me to HR for shit that I wasn't doing. I was like, please do it because it's going to be really fun if you try and do it. But he was like, oh, if he's not really going to do anything, then there's no reason for you to go. So that's kind of what it is. There's no like, it's still an ongoing thing. So I don't really have an answer.
So it hasn't gotten to HR yet.
HR talks to my boss.
Oh.
So it's not even...
It's not
it's
even.
It's like a he say, she say. Yes. Third person
yes.
thing. That's really fucked up.
I didn't get what you meant when you said he was giving everybody gifts. Like that one Tuesday, he started giving everyone a gift.
So on Thursday when I walked in, the day before that, he had given one of the front desk people a gift of flowers, a teddy bear, and a card saying that he
this
really
guy has a factory of flowers, teddy bears.
I think so. I don't know.
Florist?
He has like a friend who just gives him the exact same gifts in different colors. And then
he's regifting them.
And then when,
like, did you throw the ones out? That
no,
he gave you?
No.
Like just fucking
I well,
garbage
threw them out,
jumping?
But not near the facility, not anywhere that
you
he
should have
see them.
Should have took a shit on his lawn.
I should have. And then on Thursday when I came in, I saw him walk in with balloons in his hand. And I was like, I talked to my boss. I said, he's giving somebody else something.
How
like,
is that appropriate?
Wildly yeah. not appropriate.
I
Matter of fact, there's like jobs where you're like, in federal jobs, you're not allowed to do shit like that.
Yeah. I genuinely don't know what it's. That's why it's been a very, very defeating situation. Because everyone has been like, everyone at my job anyway, not like everyone. But... has just been like, just, you know, he's, but I'm like, we can't keep doing this because you see him doing
like,
this.
Enabling him and letting him know, no, it's okay if you fucking freak people out.
Yeah. And he's literally moving on and doing the same exact thing. I'm watching him do it. So I walked up, like, I was like, I don't care what you say. I'm going to talk to her. So I walked up to her and I was like, hey, it may seem innocent at first, but he expects more. Like, don't. And I was like, don't let this be And she was like, oh my God, I thought it was innocent. And it made me feel bad because I was like, shit, like, there are people in the world who just do nice things. Don't
That's
be jaded.
That's not nice, yeah. though. I didn't ask for that yeah. shit. Like, if you want to be nice, pick up a fucking workload, my nigga.
Yeah.
Like, do I some other ask shit. Because like, I don't interact with my work friends till now. Is this what happened? Like, do work people just come in with teddy bears and flowers?
No, if you want to be like, nice, if you're going out and you're grabbing lunch, grab me some fucking lunch too.
Ask me if I want a coffee.
Yeah. What you the fuck is he doing? That's not
nice.
But
you don't
it's
bring
weird.
Me in flowers.
It's blatantly romantic, first of all. He should not be fucking doing that.
And then she had ended up, because I said something, she ended up leaving it. And she was like, I don't want to accept the gift if it's going to be all that type of stuff. But he confessed to my boss. He was like, oh, Rebecca must have spoken to her and this and the fourth. So I'm sitting here like,
and?
Why are
now
you
I can't
having
deliver
this
my
conversation
fucking teddy
with him?
Bears?
It's starting, to, it's almost, it's again, frustrating.
Is your boss
it's
a
like,
guy?
It's a woman. So it's like, I'm talking to her and she's having these conversations with him and I'm like, are you telling him that these things are not okay? Like, so what if it is me? I'll tell him I'm the one who told her. It's me. Like, I will be the bane in your existence for the rest of your life is that we want to do.
Well, no, one, that shouldn't be happening. And two, does she not see how inappropriate, like, I don't understand what the...
She's laughing it off because she thinks he's an innocent person. That it, he's just the type of person,
and it,
yeah.
It could be well-intentioned, but it's still... Which is not, but it's still inappropriate. Like...
Also, it's making people uncomfortable. So that's all that matters.
It's inappropriate.
Rip. You're fucking... You have seniority over this nigga, and you're making... He's making you feel uncomfortable, and still we're prioritizing his feelings. How is that okay? Because you're a fucking woman.
Nice guy?
Like, and they think that he's gonna be a he's more of a danger to himself than he is to me, and they're like they don't want to be the reason why something happens to him.
Oh, so they don't want to be the reason for the homicide suicide that might happen
exactly.
to you? Like it's that part. Like I could understand, like you not really seeing anything too, because a part of it is like it's a little bit of fear, because it's like damn, if I rub this nigga the wrong way, this nigga literally might kill me, because niggas really be like that.
Yeah.
Like that guy who went and like. You know, shop that yoga studio. Mm-hmm. Just kill me. It'd be like people who just literally get rejected and they're like, well, what else is there to do? I guess I gotta go kill somebody. But then you go and you report it and you get slack like that. Like, oh, it's not that big a deal. Like, you'll be aight. You'll literally be aight. You should be grateful that somebody's giving you gifts. How are you not thankful that somebody likes you? Like, negative. Yo,
were you in the room? That's
the
crazy.
You said what?
I said, were you in the room when they were talking to me?
No, because I hear it.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, it's really like a sense of entitlement. Like, oh, you as a woman, as a person with a vagina, you're entitled to these things that men do for you. Why are you not happy about this? But it's like, yo, if I feel uncomfortable, I feel uncomfortable. The least you could do is tell them to stop. That's the part that never happened. They literally never told them to stop. They were just like, you know... You shouldn't, but if you do, we're not gonna do anything.
And even if they were gonna brush the fact that he's harassing you off, when you see the pattern with other, like it's growing, like
it's
not that they should be brushing your experience off.
No, I get it,
but it's like
you even know, also, if you get, how is that the coping mechanism? Oh, if he doesn't get to give you these gifts, he's gonna do something to himself. Maybe the nigga needs help then.
Facts.
That's the fucking band-aid. What are you talking about?
That should be the other part. Like if you have a whole HR department, y'all can't refer somebody.
Check
to
in
get
on
help.
His fucking mental health. What do you is that why you're leaving?
Yeah.
Good
that
choice.
And just like I'm just
because
I'm done.
I, any job in that kind of setting is just like always some kind of fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because
it's like I'm never gonna be protected here. I'm never gonna like get anything.
Does everyone not go through like a sexual harassment training? Like there's
no.
a video.
No.
Macy's had me watch one. Like
no.
No. Having only worked in media my whole life, no.
And jeez, I haven't worked many
there's
jobs.
Nothing about
never.
Sexual harassment in
not
the training.
Even, not even on the on the posters. Nothing. The only time I've ever had sexual harassment training was in the military. Ooh, and it's because it happens so much. But maybe like huge companies, like really big companies, they do it. And corporate companies do it.
I got
but
more
like,
extensive sexual harassment like training in my orientation at school than I did at work. There was no mention of it. But at school, they like, they had you like, did you understand that video? Did you understand that video?
People.
Then they gave different scenarios. It
which
was
I
like.
Which I find weird in the field that you work with because it seems ripe
for
sexual harassment of all. kind of dynamics.
And then the new club that they want me, that they sent me to, because I'm at a new club now. They sent me to a club, and then the rumors around everyone is like, oh yeah, they're just, everyone here is very aggressive towards women. And if they're not, they're very sexual towards women. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm leaving. There's no place else I can go here, because everyone's saying it. And the bosses are saying it as a joke. And I'm like, I have a vagina. Like, I identify as a woman here. I'm the only person in this room you're talking to that identifies as a woman that you're sending over there. That's it. And it's just like, it's like a fucking boys club. Like, it's so ridiculous. But I think that's like, it just makes me feel like that's every work environment into a fault. And it's just shitty, because you talk about it, but when it's your reality, you're just like so helpless and there's nothing that you can do.
Every work environment is a boys club, but it ain't always that. Okay. Like, that is, well, that's good. Not the fucking rule. That is an exception. And they are fucking ruining this shit. Nah, I just think you should like fucking call them out by name.
Oh, Blink Fitness?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck. Fuck? Your, your boss Fitness was nice for a minute, but she's being a fucking,
I don't like, get
very
it.
Incompetent. That is not okay.
Yeah. Nice. Yay. That's where I used to work,
bye.
Guys.
Bye. I'm sorry that is your experience, but I am glad that you're leaving.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's just
absolutely disgusting.
Does she think you're like a broke bitch? Like, you should be happy about getting fucking flowers and a teddy bear?
I think,
like, no
it
one
was
has given you anything in your whole fucking life. So, like, all, like, from start to finish, it's so stupid.
So there are, why, people who knew, shit, like, pretty much half the staff knew, because they saw when he brought me flowers, they know who he is as a person, all that type of stuff. I've gotten comments ranging from like, oh, Rebecca, you must really got the sauce, or like, da 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 da, like stuff like that. So I was like, okay, apparently this is flattering. And then I've gotten just like, oh, this, he's crazy. And everyone's just like, he's clearly crazy, but it's like a joke. Because until you're on the other side, and it's, I'm like dead or something, then it's like, oh my God, we saw the signs. This is crazy. This, and that's just what it is.
It wouldn't even say we saw the signs. We had no idea.
Yeah, how did we miss
this? We just thought that he was being nice. What did she do? She must have done something. She must have rejected
him. Did you lead him on? Oh, my boss was like, you know, you could be a little like, friendly, like, why are you so friendly? You know, when he talks to me, I just shut down the conversation, and I'm just sitting here like, okay,
your boss is a fucking I really don't like her, because she's the fucking integral person in this situation who's supposed to be stepping in, and she's a fucking woman
and doing nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yo, fuck your job, son. Good thing I got a membership there, because I would have canceled that shit. Nah, that shit is, we should just all just fucking right blank.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, how you treat your employees like shit. Did you know that? Did you know that there's somebody who's on the verge of maybe getting killed by a guy that works there and has complained and talked about it? And you're just like, I guess, maybe.
And then sending the person to another club where it's like, oh yeah, we just treat women like meat here. How the fuck is that okay?
How is that how a culture?
I don't understand how it's a conversation.
How do you not have fucking
having
sexual harassment videos at a fucking gym?
That's,
you know how many times
I'm
I've
saying
been sexually harassed at the gym?
Facts.
And by people who work there
at the
also
gym. That's why I thought it would be a part of the training.
That's why they're fucking harassing niggas. Oh, they don't know no better.
You know what? I didn't even put two and two together. That's exactly why.
It's normal. Because
they haven't seen the video.
And even if they did, it's not, the HR department would have did anything, so it don't matter. Because video only does so much. You have to, like, I don't know, fire people when they sexually harass people and fucking stalk people. Because, like, a job is literally at that point, it's like, we don't have to give that to you.
Yeah.
You can find employment elsewhere, yeah, but maybe you won't, there won't be any women to harass. You fucking creep.
This nigga's fucking 12 or some shit like that.
He's
bro
also, like,
take
always, he's like a Hotep dude. Like, he's just like,
of course he is.
Led with that.
He called me a queen, and he called me a queen in one message, and like, I laughed mad hard, and I didn't say it. I didn't respond to it. And he was like, you didn't see that I called you a queen? I was like, yeah, I saw it. What was I supposed to say about that? Like, I don't.
Hey, even his text messages to you are inappropriate. Like, don't
call me
I'm,
queen.
I
am your manager.
Exactly. Like, I am your manager. You don't call me a queen. What? Say what you gotta say and go. You coming to work or not? Or nah? Like, you've got to you forgot to clock in. I got you. Like, what
I
are we
fix your punches?
Exactly. What else
I
are we talking
to be
about?
A queen to do that.
Like, I don't. Yeah. I don't get it.
I should have dipped into the butt.
Yo, men are trash.
Don't fucking blame yourself, my nigga. I've been telling you that from jump.
Definitely not.
He would have done this to anybody because he's a fucking crazy asshole.
Anyone that gave him an inch, he's taking the whole mile. He's like, oh, words? Good. And you smiled?
You did what you had to do to stay safe at that, because you don't know what would have happened if by the second time you were like, nah, I'm smooth. He really might have lost his fucking mind.
Yeah. I thought he was waiting outside to see if you came to work on a day that he also wasn't working.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't. Oh, I'm glad you figured that out. Yeah, he wasn't working. And then my boss, like, called him inside and had a conversation with him. And then that's when she texted me. It was like, don't worry, he's not going to report you to HR. So everything's cool.
That's what she had the conversation about? Yeah. Who the fuck is this bitch, son? She's really getting on my fucking nerves.
She needs to be reported.
She needs to be reported. For HR.
Like, she fucking needs to be reported. Like, everybody's safety is in her hands. She's, like, running the gym, right? Yeah. Everybody's safety in her hands. And this is how she acts during this situation? What the fuck?
Your employees should not stalk your other employees on the premises of the job. And then she's going to put it on you?
Or in general. Well,
definitely in general, but she can't control.
But the fact that you saw it, fact that you saw it with your own two eyes, so you already know it's real.
You know it's just happening. All stupid. Even from a capitalistic model, this nigga's the janitor.
Yeah.
He has access to like the women's bathrooms and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Why is this nigga at your fucking gym?
Chemicals, all types of things. Just, he has access to every door with a key.
This bitch is dumb. He's crazy. It's all bad.
Yeah, you need to. I mean, it's like, I know that shit is wild, mentally draining. Yeah. To like keep going back and forth and like hearing nothing, especially when you're about to leave. But I hope you do find a little bit more of the energy to get this nigga out of here for the sake of the other fucking
people,
potential victims of his shit. Because he's not going to stop.
It felt shitty just even being the person to have to talk to the girl that he was talking to. Because I was just like, this isn't a conversation I should be having. Like, it should just be him. It should just be him who's the problem, who's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely should be. I got to warn you about your coworker or whatever. Like,
and
why?
Be careful how nice you are to someone and this and forth. And it's just that like, you work it's with. Really yeah. one of those.
That's the fucking woman tax, though.
Yeah, I was just about to say it's
like,
really.
That's why you should get paid more.
All right, guys. Let's hear you guys' positive stories.
I think last time we convened, I told y'all I was on dating apps. And I met this nigga on Hinge. We met on Hinge and he was cute. And he was cute, my type-ish, little light skin. You know how I don't like some people.
But he was cute.
People.
We do this every time. And I see Sam's face every time. And I'm like, it's not right.
I don't like you either. You can suck my whole dick for that. Bitch, keep going.
So we exchanged numbers. We were really vibing. It was good. And then at some point, I don't remember when, because I remember outreaching to Sam about this. He just took a left. Like, he just started baiting me in all of these unnecessary conversations about homosexual people and trans people.
My God.
And I was just like, I was just like, I'm not doing this with you. I'm not educating you. I'm not doing any of this. We can quote unquote agree to disagree, leave it at that. So that had turned me off a bit, but he was still fine. So, and the logistics of it didn't seem like it would turn into like a real relationship. It just seemed like, all right, you could be a nigga I get some dick from once a month, send some news to, companionship on a virtual level, you know, and I can do that. And I can just skirt around all of these, you know, hot button topics that you like to bait me into. You know, I can't bring you around my friends because you're not going to disrespect my people. You don't got to be a part of that life. You here for dick and to look good and to send my news to, fine. So he asked me out on a date. I said, fine, going in with that mindset. And it was a good date. It was a good day. It was almost.
You
a
keep
good
saying
day.
That, but I don't get why it was good.
So it was what it, besides him. It
exactly.
was
exactly how was it
besides
good?
The person you're on the date with, it was great.
Because it was good because this is what I was going for. I wanted to get out the house. I wanted to get cute. I wanted to do makeup. I wanted to wear heels. I wanted to be cute. I got to do that. I wanted to go out on somebody else's dime. I got to do that. It was all these courting ritual. So he's like 6-something, which is like, I'm 5'3". I'm just a petite little girl in heels trying to walk really fast. And he would like, you know, walk in front of me and like hold my hand and like watch me cross the street and like move people out my way. Like all of that was what I needed out that day. So that's why it was good. Gotcha. That was the only thing that was good about it. We went, it started as soon as I pulled up because I met him. I drove to the city, which I don't know why I agreed to do that because I know I'm on edge when I go to the city. And I pull up and we're in this very white area. It was kind of like a horror movie because it was nighttime. It like was in the West city side? And I don't know, maybe. And it was just white people on the streets.
Oh my God.
It was floods of white folks. So the first thing I said to him was, I don't feel safe. Because I didn't. I have never been around that much white people, except like on a college campus in like so long that it was like I work in a very, you know, brown people of color, black neighborhood. I don't see it as like it was droves of white people. They were just walking down the street, holding hands, just doing white people. Oh my God,
they were existing.
Like, I don't like that.
It was just so many of them. Immediately uncomfortable.
So I was just like, I don't feel safe. And he was like, why? And I was like, it's mad white people. He was like, don't worry, they won't hurt you. Or I said something to the effect like white people are violent. And he was just like, no. And I was just like, nigga, what do you mean no?
like these niggas fucking didn't start slavery, bro.
White people violate.
Like, racialized
slavery. It's history. These niggas is violent. But I let that go. I was like, all right, fine. We went to play beer pong, which was fun because it was something that I don't do. So it was a new experience. And the bar we were in was a mixed demographic, and they were playing music that I liked, so I was able to let it go. We played beer pong and it was cute, and he was showing me how to do it, and it was just all so cute and I enjoyed it. And then we left and we went to like this rooftop lounge in the city. And we were sitting and we were talking and it was cute and we were making out and it was just, it was vibes and it was good. And I was like, yes. And then he was like, oh, like randomly, she was just like, let's go by the water. Okay.
Okay.
And we ended up driving to this place in the Bronx, which I felt like he just wanted me to drive him home. Honestly, because that's what happened. But okay, we ended up driving to this place in the Bronx by the water, and
there were so many places in the city. By the way, that's the only reason I'm laughing.
Yeah, but there were like, I think it's going to like far up.
Definitely lives there, bro.
And on the drive there is where he starts to bait me into these conversations about R. Kelly and Bill Cosby and the black man, and I just sighed very deeply. I was just like,
of all the things,
and it was like it was. We didn't have to talk about it. Nothing triggered it. Like, it was just him just trying to rope me into this. And I was just like, I'm not doing this with you because you're literally just talking yourself out of pussy. Just you keep going. And I just want you to shut up.
That's crazy.
Well, I still have a little inkling left. But he just kept going. At some point, like, I just got so heated and I was just like debating with him. And then I just shut up. I was like, nope. Don't do it because you're getting it. Don't do it because nothing you're saying, every fact I throw out, he just had nothing. He just brought up another stupid excuse like they all do. Like just, you know how the conversation goes. So we get to this place by the water. He's trying to have sex with me. I was like, nigga, no.
Outside?
No, in my car.
I thought it was outside. I mean, nigga. I don't know.
It's a little better, but...
Nah. I know that coochie was super dry.
Like, I was just like, no. And then,
why would you bring up a conversation about two rapists, or in your mind, at least accused rapists, and then want to have sex?
Because that's what gets the blood boiling in these guys.
Did he know you're a feminist?
Yes.
Oh, that's why.
He was trying to do some,
well, I don't know
Romeo
what kind of twisted
Juliet
foreplay
type shit.
This is, but it ain't for me. It ain't for me. So we end up in front of his house, and he's like, oh,
do you want to go inside? And I was like,
that was the plan.
No, it really, really was. I swear, like, thinking back on it. Oh, you went inside? No, fuck no, bitch. Like, he's like, oh, do you want to come in? And I was like, you just blamed all of these women for getting raped. I'm going to walk into your house so you can kidnap me, my nigga. He's like, oh, but no, I'm a good guy.
Oh, okay.
How the fuck do I? Like, I'm this just like, nigga, friends no, I'm with not. Rebecca
Stalker.
I'm not coming into your home. Oh my I'm God. Just not. You're not about to kidnap me and have me on a plane to Dubai or hell, to another part of the Bronx to be sex trafficked and say it's my fault because I walked in your house. No, no, thank you. You can exit the vehicle. But yeah, that after that, I just deleted all my dating apps because
in the car right. as he walked up, like, all right, I'm done. That was
like,
it.
I enjoyed the first half of the experience. And it was a milestone because I haven't drove to the city. I don't think I've ever driven to the city. So I was like, oh, look at me. I did things. I like when I do things, like I do new things. You know, I made it there and back without killing anyone or myself. But yeah, after I just deleted the app because I start to realize that the people on there are defective. And I don't know what it means about me because I'm on there, but yo, those niggas.
We out here defective ass niggas, man.
Those niggas.
You undefect yourself when you delete the app.
It looks like they all look good from the outside, but the moment you get in, you're just like, I see why you're still single.
Facts.
I see it. Clear as day. Okay. And I can't put myself out there like that no more. I can't do it.
Do you think that it's the apps or men?
We all know that answer.
I'm like, damn.
It's definitely.
It's these niggas.
It's but
the
app niggas.
Allows them to cluster more than I would normally frequent them.
No, you're literally fishing through people when you're on these apps. Yeah, that's not real life.
You would never talk to that many niggas normally, in real life.
Like, because immediately would. Obvious like what the issue is. You're right? Just swiping
that's
through
like the
like,
only
oh.
good part is that you can like skip the bullshit. Yeah. Like you literally said, hi, are you a tranny?
Oh no.
Off rip. And it's like, cool. Well, that cut out 2 weeks of talking. So
didn't have to give my number for that one. Made it.
If you can make it past like one conversation without them mentioning the fact that you're black, the fact that you have a vagina, the fact that you with me, it's just like, oh, I like a big girl this time. If you can make it past that, you already feel like, okay, this guy might be normal.
Might be.
Oh, and then yeah. It's just the regular issues that niggas have. So it's like you gotta get past that part. Then you're okay. And then
until you meet up with them.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're like, okay, I literally can't do this.
Yeah.
I give up on life. I get it. Cause my God.
Yeah, just I can't. I have
so
to go.
What can't you do? Like what is it that you what is it that you're giving up on?
I don't think I can do dating. I don't think wow. I can do. I don't think I have.
Is it just too draining
the
right now?
Energy to keep fishing through these people and hitting such hard blocks and then starting over. It's like nah, I can't bounce back like that no more.
Would you be willing if you met somebody in real life and they were and it was
and
hitting?
That was my question. Like are there other forms of dating? Like what happened to what did
the singles
we do?
Not, I couldn't find one. I'm still looking for one. Sorry.
I don't know if that addresses your issue though. Like is your issue with fishing through a lot of people or is your issue with the blocks that you come through? Because you can find those blocks with somebody in person.
I think it's fishing through people then.
Okay.
I definitely find that meeting people more organically, I tend to like those people significantly more than the people that I meet on dating apps.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I don't know if it's just like the fact that if I meet you organically, we're meeting in more of a common place.
Yeah. Like I feel like in the areas that I frequent, we might be on the same wavelength more than... I just met you on a dating app because I'm in very specific spaces.
And, I'm also seeing you in real life, so I'm not, there's no facade of your pictures and you looking mad cute. I either find you attractive or I don't. And It's either you saying the good things or you, hey, so are you a trans? Oh, really? Like, and I don't know.
Who did that?
Dating's hard. Oh, it is hard.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, but then again, it's like, my nigga, it's all trash. It really is. It's like, either be hitting or don't be hitting.
Yeah. I mean, I just think dating is a lot easier, and by easier I mean there's just more people to access than ever before. Mm-hmm. So you're just like feeling that emotional brunt of it in a way that you weren't dating when you were younger because you were a child, but you had this idea of what dating was, and it's just not that
mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm sure it's always been just as trash.
Yeah.
It's just that now it's trash at a higher volume. Because I remember I saw this shit on Twitter, and it was like about like the way that guys used to court women back in the day, and you know, back in the day, even though like it's the lineage of trash has always existed, but it's like, yeah, you know, our generation isn't like this, da, da, da. And I was like, oh my god, men have always been trash. Literally, you just don't know that because you weren't alive then. Mm-hmm. So you weren't dating. That's you didn't grandma. Get to feel the trash.
She gonna tell you.
Your girl will tell you, I done went through all these niggas. And that's I don't even auntie. Like your granddaddy. I hate that nigga. But the way the 60s was set up, you know, like, it's just, it's always really shitty. You'd be very lucky to find somebody fucking like, I got faith. But then again, it's like, if you don't want to do it, then fuck it. If you still gonna be, if you can be happy without dating,
I would say like when you feel like doing it, do it, and when you don't, stop. Yeah,
instead of like the forcing, because you already know that you are something without dick.
True. You, yeah.
True. Nice. That was put that on a t-shirt.
That is the point. But yeah, that's what happened. I went on a date and I gave up. And
well, congratulations. it's just very funny the contrast between last month and this month. Yeah, I just want to point that out. As far as like the fuck me's go, but so mine, I know last month I was like, fuck niggas and dick. I totally still feel that way, but actually almost immediately following, I was feeling, you know, very fucking lonely. That this the whole dating shit has just really drained my fucking existence, like, incredibly. I can't look past the trashness anymore, and I just sulk in how horrible people can fucking be. And I have a friend, and we've been really good friends for like almost 10 years. And I knew he always had a crush on me, but I was like, nah. And I don't know why. I just like felt weird that somebody like actually like really liked me. And I'm like, I'm not gonna fuck this up. I'm gonna make you my friend. And also I haven't ever really been single. It's my first time really single, and his as well at the same time. And you know, when I had my coming home party, he carried me home and I was mad drunk and shit and like stepped on the floor to like not at all. He never ever like ever invaded my space. So I'm like, this nigga's just like mad perfect. Like I'm like a good guy or whatever. Not even. I just didn't really want to fuck that friendship up. But one day I was just like, he was off from work for like a week because he was switching jobs. And he's like, I'm gonna bother you and da da da. But then he didn't. And I was mad lonely. Like I really needed a friend. And I hit him up like, you never came. Like, what's up? He said, do you want me to come? I was like, yes. He said, right now? I said, yes. He said, okay, I'm on my way. And I was like, I got the juice, nigga. And he came and we spent the whole night together and then the following day together. And then I just like chilling, like watching movies, drinking. Literally, that's kind of where that ends, actually. Like, watching movies and drinking. Hey. Oh, and eating. Because he's a chef. So he was like making me mad food and shit because I love to eat. And then my dad took me out to dinner and I was like, so you could stay. You know, I live by myself. I'm like, you could stay if you want. I'll only be gone for like an hour. So, or you could go home. Like, if you stay, I'll come back and we just get like really drunk. Because even though we've been friends for all this time, we've never had like unimpeded time to spend with each other. Like, it's always been time hack. Like, we hang out for the night, but you gotta leave in the morning because I gotta go to work or school or some shit like that. So this was like the first unfiltered time that we've ever had. And he decided to stay. And then when I came back, we got very drunk. It was very important. Because we were both wild important. Pussy. Yeah, like we were both wild, like buns. Because I did, like, eventually you felt like it was wild tension, but honestly, I don't think that. And alcohol is just, it's important sometimes. It's
social really, lubricant.
I was really about to say that. Shit is lubricant, boy. Because he was like, he really was very avid about respecting me and my space. And he knew I didn't like to be touched, but I'd never had an issue with him touching me. But he was still like being iffy and shit. And then, yeah, then he like gave me a massage and shit. And we always slept together. We've been sleeping together for years, not like having sex. We just always slept next to each other and cuddled and shit. But that night, we slept next to each other. And then I kissed him. And then we had sex. And it was so fucking lit. And I was like, what is this? What have we done? Oh, God.
Bust that bridge.
Can't ever go back.
Never go back. But it's like, we've never like had like a normal like friendship. Like, I've always sent him naked pictures of me, like forever. Oh. Or not naked. Always just like nudes. Always had on clothes. But like seductive pictures. And he's always like, please let me eat your butt. we're very flirty. We'll flirt with each other. But I knew it's because he's always really been in love with me. And I always liked him. So it wasn't like weird per se. It was weird more so, okay, do you know what's about to happen? Because it's about to go down. This is not going to be like, oh, we're just fucking. Like, the way that we feel about each other, this is about to, either two things going to happen. It's going to hit the fan and we're just going to completely not talk to each other. Or this is just going to keep progressing.
Yeah.
And it was the latter, just facts. It was a big risk. And I mean, but at the time, it really, because I thought about it before. I didn't want to make any decisions while I was drunk. Like, I definitely didn't, especially because I didn't want him to feel like there was any consent being violated.
Okay.
So I made sure that earlier in that day when I was very sober, I was talking to my best friend. I said, I think that I might want to have sex with him. I think that I might at least want to kiss him. I think I want to do this. She's like, are you sure? I'm like, all right, no, I do want to do this. So if it happens, it happens. I'm like, if I'm drunk, this is a very sober decision that I'm making. And I told him that too, like after, because I didn't want, I think he felt like a little guilty. And I'm like, no, like I was plotting, my nigga. Like, don't think that this like was ooh spur of the moment. Like,
no.
I literally have thought about this hard and heavy while you were in my house, and I'm looking at you. So like, you're not even like gone, and I'm like having this like this space to think. Facts. I'm like, you are literally right next to me, and I'm texting like, I think I want to fuck this nigga. But then we just started spending like a lot of time together. So he has like 2 days off a week, and then I don't know, the universe be holding me down, our days line off, and we'll just stay home the whole time. It's mad lit because I don't like doing shit on my days off. And also I don't fucking have energy. I'm literally always tired. I fall asleep in the middle of everything. It's actually really, 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 really bad. And I really, really, really need to go to the doctor because I think might be something wrong with me. But it's like, I don't have to, because I also get self-conscious about the fact that I'm so tired, because you can just see it, and I just feel like a fucking drag. But it's like, I don't have to leave the house, and I can just fall asleep when I feel like it. And the sex is absolutely incredible, which is wild, because I've never had sex like that. And I'm like, is it you or is it us?
Could be like, both.
You know, and I think it is. I think it's him, because I think it's him as a person. Like, he's just a very sexual person like me. Like, he's a very horny nigga. So I'm not self-conscious about my libido, because I know that a lot of men that I've slept with, they're not okay with me being this horny, because I will not stop. I need to have sex for like an hour, which is not a thing from a lot of men that I've slept with. And even if we physically, like, even if your penis physically can't get up, because I understand that, because it's like, it's a fucking dick. Like, the shit functions. And once you nut, it's biological reasons and shit that you can't just stick a dick back in a coochie, because, you know, I understand that. But they'd be like, nah, I physically don't want to touch you. Like, I'm done and I'm leaving. But it's like, even if he can't physically have sex anymore, we still do other stuff, which is like really nice that I don't have to ask for that. Like,
you found someone that knows how to have sex.
Yes, he does.
And once you do,
enjoys it.
It's hard. Cause that'd
be
the
thing too. Like, niggas just be fucking a fuck. Like, he actually wants to please me no matter what it takes, kinda. Right? It's just so lit. And then we ended up you know, talking like, all right, cool, we have to have the talk, like the boundaries talk. Cause like, what the, I didn't want to fuck this up. And then at first it was like, it's like, you know, I'm polyamorous. That's what he's saying. I'm polyamorous. I do have two other partners. I don't really have any boundaries. So like, it's like, I just want you to know that I do have two other partners. And I'm like, okay, cool. I don't have any partners. I'm single. It's just you, but I'm okay with you doing whatever you're doing as long as you use protection with me, because I don't know what you're doing with them. And then like another week later, it became like a relationship. And I was like, wow, that was fast. And I mean, we just said like, I mean, it wasn't because like Akeem, my best friend, he asked me like, do you think that you guys are moving fast? And I was afraid that we might have been, because I was like, oh, I'm so lonely and I'm getting all this love and now I just want to possess it and not let it go. But I don't think we are, because it was really so fucking natural and we spent so much time together. We go out, go fucking food shopping, we cook, we go party, like we do everything. Yeah. And I mean, it's always been like that. Like it's really our friendship, except that now we're okay with like being open with our love for each other. But then we said like it would be an open relationship. And then the next week, because every week we clarify a little more and more, to figure out exactly what we want. So the next week was, I wanted, like, because it was polyamorous, I was like, I would just want it to be open, because I'm not okay with you having emotional relationships with other people. It's like, I don't think I'm at that level yet. I don't know if I thought I could be, but just being with him, I didn't feel like I could be. And I'm like, I think I should be okay with that. Like, I shouldn't try to like force it or whatever. But then turn around, he's like even worse. He's like, even though I'm working on my polyamory because I know that I'm non-monogamous, but I'm also very possessive. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be like possessed. Like, that's not like, I don't feel a possession over your body. No, I feel a possession over your heart. I just want all the love. And I feel like, oh, I want everything. So we tested the waters and I had sex with somebody else. And then I felt so guilty. And for two reasons. A, I had sex with somebody I probably just shouldn't have sex with, but I did it and it wasn't worth it. But I did it anyway. And because I didn't plan on doing it. Like, not really. Like, it was a chance that it could have happened, but there was a better chance that it probably wouldn't have happened. So I never, like, discussed it with him. I did tell him that the guy was coming over, and I did tell him who he was and, like, what he meant to me. But I didn't say, like, oh, so we might have sex. So after it happened, I was like, oh, and I got to do this in hindsight. And then I also realized we never had that talk. Like, what do you want to know? What don't you want to know? But it's like, it's so new. Like, how could you like get all that at once? I don't even think a fucking real full-time polyamorous expert could like set all the rules and boundaries within the first month. You know, that's a thing you really got to work on. So after I went into a job, he got off of work and we spoke and I told him. And he did say, like, at first, he did feel, like, a little insecure because, like, Miko's, like, mad short. He's, like, my height. He's like, a little chubby guy, but he's so beautiful. But the guy that I slept with is, like, super duper tall, like a fucking football player. And he's, like, I can understand it mattering. Of course, like, we're fucking human. But I'm, like, I don't look at, like, I don't like the nigga. Like, it's my nigga, but I don't like him. I'm not attracted to him. Like, I'm attracted to him because he's like really, really tall. But it's like, I just like him. I just wanted to see what it was like, kind of. Like, and we spent a lot of time apart from each other, me and that guy. So that was our first time like really hanging out with each other. So it was like, well, let's see. Mm. And that was probably the last time we're ever gonna see. And then I'm like, also like the sex wasn't that good. Like, it was good, but it wasn't like, sex. Now that I have sex with you, this is it. You know, like, it doesn't really, there's nothing like, you're the end all be all now. I don't think it's any better than that. I'm like, but I don't know, he just felt like, oh, I don't want there to ever become a point where I can't like satisfy you and you have to look elsewhere. I'm like, but you have to understand that we talk. So if we were ever come to the point where I felt like for some reason you couldn't, which I don't understand how that would happen, but if it did, I'm like, I'll just tell you and then we figure something out, because it'd probably be deeper than you just suck at sex, because you don't. But yeah, and I don't know, I felt bad, but then he's like, but I wouldn't mind being monogamous with you. And I was like, but that's not what I want to do, like, not now, maybe not ever, but definitely not now. And if we would have led with that in the beginning, I would have told you no. It's like that I have to set that for myself. Like, I don't want to flop just because I really like you. But he's like, you know, whatever I want to do, he's like, whatever you want to do, I want to do, because I want to be with you in any capacity. But also, I know that I have those same urges. And I think it's important for me to be able to do it. He's just very conflicted. Like, and I think it's because it's his first time being able to actively communicate in a non-toxic way. Because he's like, I know I have a lot of toxic masculinity built up in me, which is why it makes being in an open relationship hard. Like, I know that that's something that I just have to work on personally, and not getting jealous and stuff like that. Like, that's on me. So, I don't know. It's like a work in progress. But for now, it's like, it's okay. I love being around him. He's really nice to me. He makes really good food.
It's lit.
It's mad lit.
Sounds like a good partner.
I'm happy for you.
He's just like, I don't know, he's my best friend. He's always been my best friend. So, and I've always wanted to like him. Which sounds weird, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's because I liked him, but I've always wanted to feel romantically attracted to him, because I knew he'd be so popping. But I just wouldn't let myself do it. So I'm happy that I did finally do it. I don't know, we'll see. He's totally gonna get me pregnant one day. And it just is what it is.
Where are we? What is
it's okay.
I was like, yeah, I'm good.
It's whatever. I'm really talk about this. I've been trying to have a kid. So it's like, I prefer, if I didn't have to do it by myself, if I had to choose a person, I'd do it with him. And not necessarily like a mommy daddy kind of way, just he'd be a cool co-parent regardless. This is a cool dude.
It's amazing when you find someone.
Yeah, I'm chilling. I'm not like, can you get me pregnant? Bitch, just taking a birth control. Not out of the fucking game, my nigga. At all, whatsoever. But I don't know. It's just mad feelings. It's only been like a month. So it's like, okay, cool. And then dust settles. We'll reevaluate. And we'll keep reevaluating. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe we won't like each other in a month. But if we do, it's lit.
There you go.
I think that's a good outlook.
Thanks, guys. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She
love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. All right. Thank you for sharing, everyone. Now we're going to go into our next segment, which is called
Fuck You.
The segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And if you would like to ask us for some advice, share your whole tales, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to igupodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to include your pronouns. Okay, first up we have Kai, and Kai writes,
I can paraphrase the first email.
You can paraphrase this one?
No, the first one that she sent, or they sent prior to this one. It was very addressed to Sam, and it said I'm attracted to sad boys, please help. That was the gist of it. And I was like, okay. And then they elaborated.
Okay. All right. So then they continue and say, my very first boyfriend was named bleep, 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 because we're not going to say his name. And he is from Chicago. Are we supposed to like stalk this nigga or something like that? I don't know.
Go on Facebook.
Please don't send
him
people's whole names.
He made that very clear and was very proud of that.
I guess that's why she put the name, because it's like,
that's a story.
Love my name.
Yeah, proud. Yeah. Okay,
it's a cool name.
He's very proud.
He is very into BDSM. Mind you, we were still in high school. He was very pushy and wanted me to do things I was very uncomfortable with. Every time I said no, he would make the statement that if I didn't do things, that he had other girls who will. Red flag. I ignored his threats and went on with my day. He broke up with me after 2 months and said it was because he was moving. He lied. I was very heartbroken to see him walking around school, and he would always try to talk to me.
How do you lie and say you move and then try and talk to the person right
afterwards? Niggas are really bad people. especially when they're like 16-year-old niggas.
True.
We ended up getting back together, and this time sucked too. I'm so sorry, but I'm not surprised. He tried to fuck my sister, who's also my twin, and of course she told me that shit. I confronted him at his ROTC ceremony because he wants me in the Air Force. It's all abusive. He tried to deny it, but I had my sister to back it up. I was heartbroken again and wanted to cry, but I couldn't. A few months later, I meet this guy who I've seen around school named Bleep. He was a cute person of Mexican descent with a strong black girl fetish. I fell hard for him because I was lonely. He was there. I felt hard for him because I was lonely and he was there. I told him personal things and he comforted me, but that all ended and we broke up, and he broke up with me over Instagram. He used excuses that I was going too fast, but we only kissed and would hold hands. He blamed my sister. Why does the sister keep coming in this? He blamed my sister and my friends for being too pushy and could not handle the pressure they were putting on him to make me happy. Both boys were sad boys. I don't really see how the first boy was a sad boy. But the first one broke up with me because I was too slow, and the second one broke up with me because I was too fast. I'm hurt because even though we didn't do anything, I feel used and worthless. Both boys manipulated me, and they were both sweet talkers. I've decided 2 days ago that they won, and now I'm just 18 pounds heavier, and they both moved on with other people. There's nothing wrong with being 18 pounds heavier. I'm tired of being tired and depressed. Can you lovely, talented hoes help me with any advice, please, Kai? I would say... use this. You said you're 18 pounds heavier. You're in high school, so I'm gonna say you're like 16 or 17 or something like that. Use this time to pour into yourself, your schoolwork, your friends, whatever activities that you like to do. Don't use this time to pour into boys, because they're trash. Like, they're going to grow up to be trash men, but right now they're trash and they're children. So yeah. Another thing I would say is, like, it's hard to heed red flags because you're young and you're going through a lot of stuff and things like that. But if someone's trying to, like, at the moment someone's trying to force you to do something that you're not into, leave that relationship with them, or tell your parents, or talk to a teacher or something like that, because they're obviously, like, manipulating you into something that you don't want to be doing, and it's not going to be a good situation.
I don't think it's a sad boy thing.
Yeah, it's
I
not think a it's sad just boy trash thing. Niggas. Exactly. Yeah,
two very trash niggas. Yeah. Like, my first thoughts was, fuck those niggas.
Yeah.
There's, like Sam said, there's nothing wrong with being 18 pounds heavier. It's not, like, it sounds like, well, I just got fat and they moved on. No, you have lost weight by losing both of those niggas.
Yeah, like, there you go.
That's a fact.
And like Sam said, take this time to pour into yourself, you know, strengthen your friendships and your other relationships, because these niggas will always be here and they will always be trash.
Yeah. You know? And then you'll find someone maybe one day who's not trash, but if you don't, that's okay.
Yes.
Enjoy the time to yourself right now. Yeah. Yeah, also,
it's not worth it. Yeah. Yo, follow Rebecca's self-care tip. Heed some red flags. You know, that should be mad hard. But the fact that my son said, y'all was moving too fast.
I also think as a 16-year-old, he wasn't into BDSM. He was into some fucking abusive shit.
Yeah.
He doesn't even understand what BDSM is yet.
Because BDSM is not abusive.
At all.
Yeah. Fuck those niggas. I'm very sorry that happened to you.
Facts. I'm happy you're free, though, even though it may have hurt. Definitely for the best. It's a good learning curve.
Also, the one broke up with me because I was too slow and too fast. You're just right. Literally, like Goldilocks, mm-hmm. you're not moving too slow or too fast. You're moving at the pace that you want to move.
A very normal pace. And yeah. Like, what is even fast or exactly. Slow? That's literally, that doesn't Thank exist. You. A Mexican dude with a strong black girl fetish.
You're tied to the type of nigga that it is. It's like he tried to fuck your twin sister.
Yo, that was, like, that's bro, wild.
He's
that nigga's wild.
Universally
abusive.
Not okay and trash. So, like, don't even worry about the At way that age. That dude feels about you in any way.
Just think of it as a good fucked up story.
Like,
that you could share later on in life. Yeah, I did this one fucking dude. Like, it's literally gonna be a blip on your fucking radar. Like, it's literally not gonna exist soon.
Just be that glad that they're in your past, for Facts. Sure.
And leave them there, because if he is anything like how abusive niggas can be, he is going to come back out of nowhere. But you got to leave
After
him there.
After he told you he moved and then tried to talk to you the next day. Yeah, so
they're just not good right now. You know, they're just not good. Last but not least, and the tired and being depressed note, I don't know if you're using depressed in the sense that like, oh, I'm so sad, or if you're like actually going through depression. But if you do feel like your emotions are like weighing you down and you feel like not yourself lately, I would say talk to your parents or like an adult in your life and maybe try to seek some therapeutic help, because there might be other things going on there, but I'm not sure. All right, let's move on to another sister story. Sister and Pedos.
Sister and Pedos is the title. She and her pronouns. Hey, y'all, I've been listening to your podcast for over a year and it stays my favorite. Thank you very much. I've learned and laughed so much and I finally made a Patreon so I can support y'all. Anyway, I'm writing in because I need some help. I'm 22 and I have a 14-year-old sister who's a freshman in high school. She has told me that she's sexually active and has had sex with 3 guys since she started high school. The problem is that each guy that she has had sex with is 18 years old and out of high school already. Okay. As an older sister and a feminist, I can't help but feel upset. Technically, these 18-year-old guys are pedophiles since they're having sex with a minor. When she talks about it, she sounds convinced that she gave full consent, but is it really consent if there's an age gap like this? Isn't a power imbalance, especially considering how naive high school freshmen can be? Isn't this a power imbalance? Every time she brings it up, I make it a point to tell her it's not okay for her to sleep with anybody 18 or older. Even a 16-year-old with a 14-year-old seems a little bit odd. Seems a little bit old. Anyway, I have a lot more I can go on about, but I don't know what else to do. Should I tell our mom? I know I can't control her, but I want to protect her from these predators. Any advice would help, even if you think 18 isn't too old and I'm just over-exaggerating things. I'm not going to front. I think you should tell her mom.
Yeah, not facts. Like, okay, so I've dealt with this like a lot when I was a kid. So it resonated with me because I know that if somebody would have asked me when I was like 15 or 16, like fucking with like oldie, like super duper mid-20s adults, if I gave consent, I would have said yes. And then now, as I'm at the age that the guys were, and I look back at it, no, it wasn't consensual, because there is a power imbalance, a complete power imbalance. And then also a lot of older guys use substances to like entice young high school girls. The fact that you're even around a high school girl, I got bagged.
Where are they meeting?
I got bagged as a 17-year-old by a 24-year-old outside of my high school. And then we dated for like 2 years. It was super fucking creepy, but I didn't know. And now that I think about it, I wish that somebody would have told my fucking parents instead of just like, because people made fun of me about it, like, bitch, you're wildin'. But it was wild rapey. It was super rapey. And they it's not just always about sex too. They use kids to do things for them. Like one guy used me for urine because he was addicted to drugs. So he kept me around and like, you know, like that power, like, yo, but I'm the adult and I'm dealing with you, so you must be special kind of thing. And then we literally used me to pee clean for him. Very fucking odd. Like, and it's also like illegal for a fucking reason. Yeah. Like there's, yo, you know, the laws be super duper trash, but that one, like a statutory rape, that shit is wild fucking important. Cause you can't, like you can't.
I think even just thinking about my mentality from 13, 14, mm-hmm. Nah. Like, and then to 18, it's just not, the power imbalance that you're saying is so evident. Like, I could think of her just thinking, like, she needs to impress him or this, that, and the fourth. A lot of things that are just built up that just, there's a reason why this relationship is making you uncomfortable. That's making you think to yourself, maybe I should tell my parents. Because like you should, because it's a red flag. It's a huge red flag. And then it might, in the long run, might seem innocent, but it could affect her in the long run. There's things that she's probably not telling you. There's things that like she's convinced herself of. And I don't know, like the first thing I read, as soon as I saw it, I was just like, nah.
Facts.
Nah.
Because there's nothing wrong with having sex at 14. Yeah. There's definitely something wrong with having sex with 18-year-olds.
Yes. There is a reason why that 18-year-old is choosing you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reason. Because there are plenty 17, 18-year-old, 20-year-olds mm-hmm. around him. There's a reason why he is trying. It is the reason why they're having sex with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you feel uncomfortable, because you know the reason why
mm-hmm.
he's having sex with your sister. And she, like Rob said and like Rebecca said, she may not see it. And it's hindsight is always 20/20, because I was also a young girl talking and dating older men in their mid-20s, and I look back on it and I'm like, that was disgusting. But
in the midst of it, you couldn't tell me shit.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. You couldn't tell me
they let you know
thing.
It's okay.
Like
oh, you're not like okay. the other girls your age, and mm-hmm. you're not like the people your age. I can really talk to you. Mm-hmm. It's always, you're so mature. Yeah, mm-hmm. and then you're flattered, and they're like, oh, look at me. I'm like better than everybody mm-hmm. else. So
they won't
I'm
even,
back.
They'll let you completely forget that you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll let you cut school.
Yeah. yeah.
They'll give you alcohol. They'll yeah. give you drugs. And you're just like, oh, this is life.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do you know if you don't know? Like, of course, everybody, well, not everybody, and not of course, but a lot of people know, like, what statutory rape is. But a lot of people don't understand why it exists.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, really for a reason. But it's like, I'm happy that she's even telling you.
Yeah,
true. Because she could have not told you. I know I didn't fucking tell anybody besides people in my group. So she could have not told you. So I hope that you also continue to keep that kind of communication open, because if that closes, things would just go a lot worse. Yeah. There'd be a lot of things she won't tell you.
That is my fear. Oh, go ahead, Samantha.
Go ahead.
That is my fear with the should I tell our mom yeah. thing, because once they close up, nigga, they clams. Like, nothing's coming out. And, you know, it seems like you guys have a good rapport and a good relationship that she felt comfortable telling you these things. I don't know how to approach it.
I would say try to be the mediator between your sister and your mother. So I don't know how your mom is going to react in this situation, but kind of like not have the mom bring the hammer down on the child.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to do anything.
And it's
she's
going
to continue to sneak out and be with these boys.
Because, like, if your mom is going to be the type of person to just be upset already initially of her having sex in the first place, that's already like, okay, you're breaking that down. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it happens to be with 18-year-olds. I would say, as much as you can, having a conversation with her and really just treating her like somebody who has a level head, because clearly she thinks at this point, like, she's making conscious decisions. She's that nigga, because we all think we that nigga when we're dealing with older niggas. But it's like, all right, think about it this way and kind of get her to understand why it's wrong, as opposed to just being like, you're crazy. And then she's going to be like, all right, I'm not going to talk to you because you don't understand. Yeah. Explain it to her as much as you can and talk to her on a sister level.
Don't just hinge it on the fact that he's 18, because she's going to be like, oh, it's just 4 years older. Yeah. What does that really do? Like, hinge it on the power dynamics that are there. Mm-hmm. And then, like, try to examine, like, walk it through her, like, where is that 18-year-old at in his life right now? Are you on the bus and he's in a car? Is he in college and you're in high school? Like, all these kinds of things. Like, how much experience does he have? And then I think that she's like, she'll get it. You know, 14-year-olds are kids, but they're not stupid.
I mean, and you could even, like, because I know when you're younger, or not even when you're younger, when you're just not older, like, you can't see past 14. It's like, you're 14. How do you know what the fuck 18 feels like? Like, how do you know what it feels like? The difference. You can even go backwards. Remember when you were fucking 10?
That was just 4 years ago.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. Remember when you were 8? Would you, as a 14-year-old in high school, have sex with an 8-year-old? Because that'd be weird, right? That'd be wrong. So it's like, it's really just like, oh, you gotta be relative with it too. Because you have to do it in a way like, I can really understand that. Because I think if somebody would have said that shit resonates with you.
Like, yeah, looking at you, like, right. Yeah, that was great.
Because, you know, you always say that too, like, oh, I'm 27 now. I remember me 4 years ago, I was a completely different person.
When I say you can't do that all the time. Click at 25, nigga.
Yeah.
I was like, look at this frontal lobe just forming and
forming. Boy, she said,
solidifying.
You know, like, you really, and then you look back and say, when I was 21, the person I am at the age of 21, at 27, I was not. I mean, you're the same person as your core self, but you're completely, you have so many experiences that happen in between. And now I know, me at 27, if I were to look at a 15-year-old, 16-year-old in that kind of way, I know off rip that's wrong. I got my own place. I got 2 jobs. I got 2 degrees. I'm literally a whole fucking adult with complete agency over my entire existence. And I'm going for a child, a literal child, not even by definition, a child, like, just a child, because you're literally still growing. And it's like, you also don't want to make it seem like, oh, but you are just a child, because it's like, clearly she's having sex. So and she's not a child at that point. In that sense, she's a young adult who's fully functioning.
Well, she's an adolescent.
Everything.
She's a child.
Yeah.
An adult.
As far as how she feels, because if you're like, but you're a child and this is a grown-ass adult, it's going to be like, it feels the meaning to be called a child.
Yeah.
When you're like,
no,
I
get that.
I'm doing all these things and I feel all these feelings. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're really just a lot of shit. You don't even understand
what is going on? Because hormones are fucking wild.
Even I understand what's going on. So.
Got the fucking hormone monster in your backpack and shit.
That is actually, but that is actually a good point to like use that relevancy and like time point it for them. Because when you said that, I was like, at 14, was I the same person at 10? I was like, nigga, no.
She's probably going to visibly react if you actually use like it in a sexual preference. Yeah. But that's important because it's like, that's how I'm visually reacting to him being 18 and you being 14, yeah. Him being 20 and you being 14. I think it's just as disgusting as you do. So I hope you understand. I hope you trust me. And I know there's mad little boys, little 14-year-olds who really want to have sex.
Cool.
Just, ew. I know it's weird, but it's life. Like,
with other 14-year-olds. The smelliest humans on earth.
They are. Oh, yeah. Oh, facts. It's absolute facts. But.
I'm very glad I was not having sex at 14. Nasty.
Good luck.
Yeah, write in, tell us how it goes. All right, next up we have B&J Confessions. B&J, which stands for Ben and Jerry's, says, "Hi lovelies. All right, so I've never written in like this. I'm new in a small town where I know a few people. I live alone, so you can imagine the amount of free time I have to scroll through social media and question my life choices. Naturally, I re-downloaded Tinder. My history with Tinder has been extremely toxic. I first got it years ago, and during the 4 months I had it, I had 3 to 4 new sexual partners per week, only sometimes using protection. It was the cause of my spiraling depression and as well as the reaction to my failing certain endeavors at the time. Since then, I haven't been on the app until last night. The first match I got was a really, really hot guy. It felt like the 100th night sitting alone in bed eating Ben and Jerry's. So I fell to Tinder quick and accessible temptations. He lived close and messaged me first. He was really persistent to meet me that night, asking me to come meet him, come over, and then offering to come to my place. Normally, I would never have a stranger over at 11 p.m. to an empty apartment. First told him no. My Scooby-Doo PJs were on. My acne night cream had been applied, and I was mid-Netflix binging. After 2 hours, I took the risk and let him come over on the agreement that he wouldn't try to fuck me. Before he arrived, I explicitly told him not to come if it's to try and fuck. He agreed, came, took off his shoes, laid in the bed, and we were watching a movie. I'm a blunt bitch, so I was quick to remark how surreal and strange it was laying in bed with a stranger you met 2 hours ago watching Netflix and not having sex. It was 1 a.m. and we lay there and talked for hours till after 6 a.m., literally all night. He cuddled into me.
Nice.
He went into my fucking soul. He cuddled me and laughed at my jokes, calling me funny, his face laying 1 inch from mine the whole goddamn night. Like, we connected on that higher level where I felt so comfortable opening up to him. And he actually told me that night how comfortable he felt with me. It was weird but nice. I told him he better not turn out to be a fuckboy. He said I'm the first person he's ever met up with off the app. This nigga's a fucking liar, bro.
It's just lies.
It's like we're already
through
like
the skin
oh
of his
gosh,
teeth. Like, he's silly. Lying. We made out once or twice. He tried to fuck. I told him I am grown now and don't do that one night stand shit because in the past it has truly damaged my mental health. I was quick to add though that I'm down for a second night stand. Winky face. After he left at 6 to get to sleep, I went to bed. That same day around 3 p.m., I hadn't heard from him, but considering we were strangers and we didn't go on a date or anything, I didn't know the rules. So a bitch sent him the first text. It was a funny one-liner going off of a remark he made the night before. I was left unread. I forced myself not to overthink the rude lack of reply because he could have forgotten to reply. That night, he saw my social media story, still no reply. So day two, I sent him a text asking if he's going to reply or if it was just a one-time thing, adding in the text that I'm grown and will understand either way. I just hate being ghosted, especially when the night went so well. I never got the reply and soon after went on Tinder to see that he had unmatched us. Wow. LMAO. After he told me he wasn't the typical fuckboy.
Aww.
That's the one-liner of a fuckboy.
I'm not a fuckboy. I'm a good guy.
Why do full-grown men in quotes, act like this? I went ahead and deleted the convo and have moved on, but like, bitch, I didn't even want him to come over initially that night. He could have left me to lay in bed with Ben and Jerry's and mind my damn business. Instead, he insisted on coming over, fuck up my emotions for a whole 6 hours, then leave for good. I'm thinking, damn, I'm glad I didn't give him any and fuck the guy. This is the universe giving me a close call reminder why I don't fuck with Tinder. Years ago, I might have texted him a novel. I'm so glad that you did not.
Yeah.
Attempting to shame him and call him out. He don't give a fuck, bitch. And definitely would have blamed myself and felt guilty why he didn't call back. Now, at least I can realize that I did nothing wrong. I was open, upfront, warm-hearted. So I shouldn't feel embarrassed going to the local Walmart out of fear of still seeing him. Still, I'm just sitting here like, damn, I never connected with a stranger in my bed at 1 a.m. like that. At least I scratched my reckless itch and came out alive. The internet really does numb people to human interaction. When do you hear of someone running into their sexual encounter on the street, saying hi to them, and then just staring through like you don't exist? We could have agreed that it would have been a one-night stand and moved on, treating each other like adults, but he chose to burn a bridge with someone who lives less than a mile from him. Smart. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen. I love you guys and religiously tune into your podcast. Sincerely, Ben and Jerry's Mistress. Thank you.
Woo.
So let me tell you the first moment. It was when he was like saying, I need to come over at 11 p.m.
Huh.
That was it.
Yeah.
There was nothing else.
Or meet me at 11 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 11 motherfucking p.m.
He thought that he could play the card of, all right, we're going to chat.
Exactly. I'm going to charm her.
Because he still tried to fuck you. Like, exactly. He did. Like, he waited 6 hours. Sure. Sure, you had good conversation. Right. But he still tried to fuck you once or twice. You know, it was twice. Yeah. But yes.
It was eight times.
The makeout was an attempt to fuck you as well. And
it was
just
all an attempt to fuck you. I've never met someone off the app before.
You're a goddamn fucking
liar.
You're
the
first person that I met off that.
And I'm choosing to meet you at 11 p.m. and I'm begging to meet you.
Yeah.
Him agreeing to come over and try not to fuck with him trying to fuck you,
like,
because
still him trying to fuck.
Like, yeah.
How many times honestly, when he took off his shoes, explicitly told niggas like, I'm on my period, nigga, we're not fucking, and niggas will still try. Like,
I had a nigga say to me that he was not going to try to fuck me. It was his proposition
and he still tried to fuck.
Yes. I was at his house, we're watching some bullshit on Netflix, and he starts trying to make out with me, and I'm like, what happened? What happened to the rule that you proposed?
I literally changed my mind right now. Yo, when I was in high school, I like had like surgery on my fucking cervix and shit, so I physically couldn't have sex. And I told the nigga like, "Yo, we never had sex before." And I'm like, I physically can't because you're gonna rupture my cervix and then I die. And he tried to fuck so hard and got so mad at me, but I was like, I had surgery yesterday to the point where the fluid is still coming out of my vagina. He's like, just the tip. It's up the cervix. Are you out of your fucking mind? Yo.
Let that story niggas, let you know that niggas will
niggas
try to fuck.
Niggas operate like they've never had sex in their entire lives. And they would have just had sex yesterday. Sometimes even the same day. They're crazy.
He just
they're
came
out of
from
their
he
mind.
He just came from another vagina.
He used the 6 hours to rest before he attempted.
He's like,
to have sex
like
with
this
you.
The weekend. Like, I'm not gonna wash. I'm not gonna wash good. It off. Yeah. I'm gonna let you taste her. That would have been that dude
from the other person's house and said, "I have 6 hours."
He lives in a vagina and crawled out of the vagina to crawl into your vagina, and he was so mad that he could not find another home and went home and crawled back into his home vagina.
I think it's a really hermit crab.
This is not to like laugh at the story
situation.
Anyway.
No,
it's just
no,
like
you,
we're all
great.
There. We all don't know the answer to the question that you're asking us.
No, there's no question.
There's no question.
There is.
That's
just, it's just it's a big vent.
So yeah, need to vent because it was like, nigga, what the fuck?
And honestly, like if you see that nigga,
Jesus.
You gotta keep it pushing.
Walk.
You keep it pushing with a smile.
You laugh. Stare
laugh.
Right in his face. You
don't
laugh.
Too
cold, yeah. Say, ah! You chuckle and you keep it going.
You said you wasn't the fuck boy. That's crazy. Because you look at the Spider-Man meme, son. Like, it's nah. That's mad funny. That nigga is so horrible. But yo, that's really what dating is like sometimes. It's just, you really don't know what the fuck you're going to get. That was just one example of the many examples of the wildest things that had happened on Tinder.
Niggas have patience too. That's like, the craziest part.
Yo, that nigga waited 6 hours. He's like, oh, maybe the six,
he
the
me
six
dumb
part
of her jokes.
Hours.
Like,
the conversation was,
you gonna
the
let
conversation
me hit
was foreplay. He was trying to work it in.
Yo, honestly,
you were not
if the
really
sun comes
it.
Up, and we still ain't smashed, because now my mouth is dry. And I might be type hungry. I know my breath stinks. And I don't care if we were sitting an inch in front of each other. My breath still stinks. Like, are you nasty? Like, shout out to you for holding down. But by that time, the sun's coming up, you're really not getting it. I'm very committed to not give you ass. Because if I was going to give in, it would have been about a 2.5 hour mark.
Yeah.
But like,
6 hours in, nigga.
My coochie no. mad dry. Shit kind of sweaty because I was kind of nervous and my lips closed. And I'm not, even if I wanted some, I wouldn't give it to you because I don't feel comfortable if you smell my sink ass coochie. Like, it's just too much.
Like, but also, don't invite people that you just met to your house at 12 o'clock in the morning.
That was the first thing.
I heard that. I was like, wait.
He's pushing to come see you. That's a red flag. This nigga's a serial killer. I'm not letting you in my house. And ain't nobody here at 11. When niggas are very eager to see me, nigga, you're trying to kill me. That is what it says
to me. You don't like me. You don't even know me.
I'm about to get got. You are trying to kill me. You're trying to kidnap me. Nobody's ever that excited to see me. Not my own goddamn kid is ever that excited to fucking see me.
Only my dogs are that excited.
Well, yeah, they're not human. Exactly.
So because I feed them. It's different.
Yeah. Like, no, a nigga that pressed to see you at night in the dark is a serial killer. Nobody can tell me different. And you took a gamble, and I'm glad you came out alive, but don't be taking them gambles with your life like that, nigga.
I mean, thinking about it, if you niggas will kill you if they want to kill you.
Yeah.
your house, his house, the alleyway,
I'm gonna kill you in the public place that you want to meet up in.
Starbucks. Niggas will kill you if they want to kill you.
Can kill you in a mall.
So we're not gonna say, you know, protect, like, we're not gonna put the onus on you to make sure niggas don't kill you, because
but just make it harder.
Well, even just but, outside of the killing thing, no nigga wants to come over after 11 p.m who's not trying to smash.
Not trying to talk.
Oh, you're right.
You went straight to killing.
Oh no. Yo. Because that's where I go. That's where that's where I go. But yes, he was, regardless of what he was saying, he was trying to fuck after 11 p.m Yeah,
he's on Tinder at 11 p.m trying to meet with you immediately.
Facts.
You're great, but he doesn't know you that well to be like, oh, I'm so enamored. Like, who wants to like leave their house after 11 p.m
No.
Unless you're going to a party or get some ass.
If we're like meeting up to like go to a bar or some shit,
and that's like why come to the crib. He unmatched you at the end because he thought
if he was gonna get some ass,
he's straight through for them 6 hours, you was gonna give in. And when you didn't, he was like, oh, this bitch is a dub.
He was pissed.
And that's why I hate men, though. Like, it's the constant trying to push your boundaries. Because there's somebody else on Tinder who would have had sex with him. Go find her, my nigga. We don't have to play these fucking games. If I want to fuck you, I'll tell you. If I don't, I will tell you.
And then when I do, take it at that. I'm not playing hard to get.
Exactly.
And the thing is,
this is not a
soft,
fucking rom-com.
But
my
she
nigga.
Said too, it's like, oh, I'm not into first, like, what is it? First night, one night stands. But I'm into second night
stands.
She
literally told you, I'll give you one more time tomorrow.
And I got you, bro.
I'm not giving you X 6 o'clock in the morning because my breath stinks because my coochie hot. I can do it tomorrow. All you had to do is try one time. But it was the fact that then now you had control of the situation. He ain't like that shit. Like, oh, now she making me
wait.
Oh, I
gotta put effort
because
in.
What if she decides, ooh, I want to do a third night stand and not a second night stand. Now I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Not worth it, apparently.
Man, fuck these niggas. Literally, though. Also, fuck these niggas. And then fight them. Because they're horrible people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the end of the show.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following Inner Hole Uprising without the G on Twitter, and Inner Hole Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook, innerholeuprising.com to pay a hole or to check out merchandise. If you'd like to follow me, Rodeca specifically, I am The Darkest Timeline on Instagram and Rebby or Not on Twitter. She and her pronouns are mine.
If you'd like to follow me, Rob the God, you could do so. Follow me, Rob the _God on Twitter, panafrican.bootyscratcher on Instagram. Pronouns, they, them.
Akua, H-E-Y, that's not it. It's Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter, HEYYAKUAGIRL. Pronouns, she and her.
Sam, pronouns, she and her. Slam Red, Instagram and Twitter. Carmen, Sam Diego for travel and food photos. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Appreciate you.